Have you ever been to a great send-off? Maybe it was a retirement dinner. Maybe it was the sending off of one of your previous pastors. Maybe it was a goodbye event for someone who's moving away and you know you're not going to see them for a long time, or maybe ever again. You can notice in the high time of the moment, it seems as if there's no one else that could ever be any better. They were the best. And there's always the question that what will happen to them now, and what will happen to the legacy that they leave behind now that they're gone. I want to talk this morning about the last great event in the life of the disciples before the coming of the promised Holy Spirit, and that event is the send-off of a great man. We remember we've been talking in the last few weeks about Jesus teaching in the upper room to his disciples on the last night that he met with them. In the upper room, he told his disciples that he was leaving, but that he would come back for them. And most importantly, he told them he was going to the Father. Now, to a Jewish person, which his disciples were, this would have been important because they knew about Almighty God. Their thought was that Almighty God was in heaven. But here Jesus himself was, their friend, their teacher, their counselor, telling them he was going to be with the Father, to be with Almighty Yahweh. And he told them he must go so that the counselor could come. As we look at what Luke says here this morning, we have to do it, first of all, with some thoughts in our mind. First, Luke was a Gentile doctor. He was not a Jew. He was a doctor, and he was a close friend, and he was a companion of Paul. And being a doctor, one of the things I like about Luke is his style of writing is different. And it's more defined, and it's more on the factual side. Of course, you know, being a doctor, he would have wanted to know the facts, lined them out methodically. He would have made a great United Methodist. And he would have wanted to put them precisely so that others could follow and know what he was writing down. He was not an eyewitness of the life of Jesus Christ, though. But scholars believe that Luke knew Jesus' mother Mary, and he knew others who would have been witnesses of Christ's, the life of Christ, and who would have given Luke the first-hand information that Luke needed to know before he wrote down his gospel. In fact, Luke begins his very gospel writing to Theophilus in this way. He says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us," meaning in Jesus Christ, "just as they were handed down to us by those from the first, were eyewitnesses, and they were servants of the word." He says, "Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good to me also to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught." So, we see right off the bat, Luke's purpose in writing this gospel was so that others, other Gentiles, other believers, others who read this letter later on, would know with certainty all the things that were talked about, shared, written down about Jesus Christ. And last this morning, we have to remember that Luke writes from a doctor's perspective, so he is presenting the humanness, the human side of Jesus, the Son of Man. Now, this man Jesus had been crucified. This man Jesus had been seen by many people on the day of resurrection from the dead and in the following days. And the disciples were told to go to Galilee and wait for Jesus there. And Luke, here in his gospel, abandons the chronological account, and you have to do some correlation of the gospels to realize that this event that Luke is talking about here today in our text happened in Galilee. And one can soon see the reason that Luke closes his writing out is twofold. First of all, in order to focus on the state of the man Jesus Christ, and second, to reflect on the response of his followers. The resurrected Christ comes to his followers previously, comes before them, and he shows them that he's not just a ghost, but that he has a body.
He says to them, look at my hands, look at my feet, it's I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have.
He even took a piece of fish and he ate it to show them that what they were seeing was not a ghost, but a resurrected man, Jesus Christ himself. So the state of the man was that he was resurrected from the dead and was in fact alive in his resurrected body.
Now, goes on to tell us, Luke tells us here, that Jesus said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. And everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Remember, they didn't have the gospel then.
They didn't have the New Testament. They had the law of Moses, they had the writings of the prophets and the prophecies about the Messiah, and the Psalms. They said, this is what I told you. Everything had to be fulfilled that was written about me in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. And then he opened their minds so they would understand what he was talking about. And he told them, this is what is written, that the Christ would suffer, the Christ would rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he says to them, you guys are witnesses of this. This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything that was written about me has to be fulfilled, and you guys saw it. You're the witnesses of all this. He says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city. He's talking about Jerusalem. Stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. So here they are in Galilee. He's telling them to go to the city and wait there until they're clothed with power from on high. Because if they were going to be witnesses, they were going to need that supernatural power, weren't they, to work in supernatural ways to give them the gifts to do what they can't do normally. And he gave them a promise of what was about to happen on the day of Pentecost just a few days later. Now, in Matthew, Jesus says to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and teaching everyone to obey Christ. Here Jesus says that through the preaching of repentance and forgiveness of sins, which comes through Christ, just as the prophets, Moses, and the Psalms said it would and foretold. So essentially what he is saying to these men, this is what I told you while I was still with you. These are the things that happened, and you're witnesses. I'm going to send you another helper, counselor, and you'll be clothed with power from on high to continue on with my message of repentance and forgiveness. Now, they're probably thinking, wow, this is great. We're going to receive some special power soon. We can't wait. But one thing is left. Remember that Jesus said to them that he was going to the Father? It says, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Now wait just a minute. This man was just with us. He was right here. We felt him. He ate fish with us. But we just saw him ascend into heaven. Look at their response. They worshipped him. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They stayed continually at the temple praising God. They were no longer afraid. Remember he said, let not your hearts be troubled. They were no longer afraid. They no longer doubted. They worshipped the risen and ascended Christ. They were filled with joy. And they were regular attenders of church praising God. They had reason to be filled with joy. They had reason to attend church together and worship God. Because not only did Christ have the power over death, he had authority over all life. People say, why did Christ have to die? To atone for our sins. Why did Christ rise from the dead? To show us that he overcame death. Why did Christ ascend into heaven? To show us that he is still alive at the right hand of the Father like he said he would. Not only did Christ have power over death, he had authority over all life. And they now had a personal mediator present with the Father. Think about that. They have a present mediator with Almighty Yahweh. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is Love, who ever lives and pleads for me. Remember he said in Matthew, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Remember he said to them when he met with them in the upper room, I'll be back to take you with me. Remember he said to them, I'm going to the Father. And Luke also writes in Acts chapter 1, after he said all these things, he was lifted up. And while they were looking on, a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing into the sky intently, in amazement at what they had just seen, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stare looking into the sky? This is Jesus, who's been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you watched him go into heaven. Now this man Jesus was taken up or ascended into heaven just as he said he would be. Physically resurrected, physically taken up to heaven. What a great way to go out, not with a bang, but with glory. And he's physically coming back in the same way for his followers. Now, this Jesus was some special man, don't you agree? He wasn't just an ordinary guy. And isn't he the kind of man you would want to be the authority in your life? A man who has power over life and death? For any doubters here this morning, we have the apostolic witness. We have witnesses who were there at the great send-off. That means we have the witness of those who saw him ascend to be with the Father, and they told about it. Some traditions say Muhammad ascended into heaven, but no one saw him. They didn't see him rise from the dead and ascend. Some traditions say that Mary is the mother of Jesus ascended into heaven. No one saw her. We have eyewitnesses. Jesus Christ ascended to be with the Father like he said he would, in fulfillment of the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms that spoke about him. And the power that he spoke about would come just a few days later in Jerusalem at Pentecost. This man, Jesus of Nazareth, whom Luke told about, Luke being a doctor, think about this, told about Jesus being born of a virgin in the flesh, a man born in the flesh, who lived and died in the flesh, who rose in the flesh, ascended in the flesh, is a special man unlike any other. That's what Luke's trying to tell us. He's not just simple flesh and bone like the rest of the great prophets, the rest of the great teachers, the rest of these men and women that other traditions hold high up. No, this is an ordinary man. We saw him. He ascended bodily to be at the right hand of Almighty God. He's the one that Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms told about, and it happened just like they said it would. He overcame death. He's been given authority over life. The question today to us is he the authority in your life? If not, why not? It basically comes down to who's on the throne. Are you or is Christ? When we put ourselves in charge of our lives and think that we have charge of our lives, that it's up to us, we take Jesus off the throne. Are we worthy to sit on the throne and be in charge of anything, let alone life and death itself? We must put Jesus where he belongs, on the throne, and give him the authority in our lives. I wish we could talk to those two that walked the road to Emmaus. I wish we could talk to the disciples. But even though we can't, that doesn't mean that their voice is silent. In fact, their testimony has stood the test of time. And that's what Luke tells us. Since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good to me to write an orderly account. Why? So that you may know the certainty Anybody says to you, we can't be certain of anything anymore? Yes, we can, folks. We can be certain of the things that we've been taught out of here because it's been taught through apostolic witness. All witnesses, proof, and facts. And Luke, the doctor, writes it down for us. Don't let the fact that you can't see Jesus physically make you stumble in the dark. Christ was no ordinary man. He was a man worthy to ascend to the Father, where He intercedes for those who receive Him by faith. And He wants to be the authority in your life, every single day of life. Because how can He come and take you with Him when He comes back if you don't believe in Him? And there are people living lives every day thinking they're going to have eternal life without Jesus Christ. And it can't happen. Jesus ascended. They saw it. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have a great high priest sitting at the right hand of Almighty God the Father who knows you better than you do. He was there when you were created. He's there right now wanting to be the authority in your life. Saying to you, let me take charge. Give me control of your life. Turn your life over to me. He's there pleading for you when you don't even know what to pray for. He's there pleading with the Father. And He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Why do we believe that? Because everything that He said, everything that He did, was fulfillment of what had been said about Him. And if the ascension of Christ gives us anything, it gives us hope that He is alive. That He will come back because He has the power and authority to do so. I want to leave you with three thoughts this morning before we join together in Holy Communion. First of all, Jesus bodily rose from the dead and was seen by and touched by His disciples. Nobody else can claim that. Second, Jesus bodily ascended to heaven and was seen ascending. Nobody else can claim that. When He ascended, everything that was written about Him was fulfilled. Nobody else can say that. True followers of Jesus Christ have joy now because there's no doubt about this man. He is the Son of God. He's the promised Messiah. He ascended to heaven for you and I to intercede for us. And true followers of Jesus Christ continually worship Him and praise God for sending Him. And we wait, don't we? We wait and we wait. And I know it seems like a long time, but it's nothing compared with eternity. We wait with joyful anticipation for the return of Jesus Christ. As we continue the faithful witness of all these things, folks, you and I are the witnesses today. We take it from our brothers and sisters out of here and we carry it on, saying, my brothers, my sisters saw it. They were there. And we continue the witness of these things, preaching repentance and forgiveness in Christ's name. As for the Holy Spirit, well, that's our subject for next week. But in the meantime, may God grant you the joy, may He grant you the joy to worship our risen and ascended Christ, knowing that He's up there for you, personally, at the right hand of Almighty God, personally, interceding for you and on your behalf. And He is coming back. He's coming back for all those who receive Him. Accept Him for what He is, the risen, glorified, and ascended Christ. We share what we believe in Jesus Christ through the Apostles' Creed. So let's stand together, turn in our hymnals, and join together with professing our faith, the number 739.